We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if on July 4th, America's birthday, America's pastime could come back? Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here. You can catch us on Sirius XM Channel 80 and also on your smart speakers.
It would be nice. It'd be nice if everyone could get it together, as we've talked about, like, optimism around the world of sports has started to creep into the picture a bit, and you just hate to see water poured on that by a situation that seems to be largely the same old stuff for Major League Baseball in all of the negative ways.
Yeah. I'll be stunned if that happens. I really will. I can't believe either side would let it get to that and not somehow, some way figure it out and not make it be about, because right now it's about money.
Yeah.
And for it to go that way, I think just what that could do to the sport for a while. It's not going to make it go away for good. We know that won't happen, but I just don't think there's any way it'll happen.
At the end of the day, if people walk away and say, yeah, we could play with the virus, but we couldn't play because we couldn't figure out the money.
Yeah.
That is just such
a tough call.
It's such a bad look in every way, shape, or form. So if you were with us last hour, we had a great conversation with Floyd Landis, a former Tour de France winner who had his title stripped when he was caught doping. And it was also a big part of the Lance Armstrong team before he went out on his own, and part of Lance helping win those seven straight Tour de France titles, and is a big part of the Lance Armstrong documentary Part 2, which will be coming up Sunday night. We also have another documentary coming out this Friday on Roy Halladay, the longtime major league pitcher who died in that plane crash in his own plane tragically a couple of years ago, and a story that not a lot of us knew about his battle with opioid addiction and painkillers, which is coming out this Friday. It's a very fascinating, very personal, poignant look at the man and the player and the person and the things he was dealing with. Again, it's Friday night, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, an all new E60 Imperfect on the baseball career and troubled life beyond the game of the Hall of Fame right-hander Roy Halladay. And for more on all of that, we're delighted to be joined now by his former manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, Charlie Manuel. Charlie, thank you for being with us this morning. We appreciate it. Just if you could, how much was the team aware of the things that Roy was going through when he was going through them at that time?
Actually, when he was actually playing and things like that, I was not, me and the coaches, probably players, when it was in the training room and things like that, and he was getting work done, we didn't see any of that, really. I didn't. And I definitely don't overlook things, or usually I see everything. And I know sometimes he would pitch, and he wouldn't be feeling good, a lot of guys do that, but no, as far as that impact, what he was doing, I didn't know anything about that.
How good a pitcher was he?
Absolutely outstanding. He was at one time, especially through the 90s and early 2000s, you could argue that he was the best pitcher in baseball. He was that good. He was Roy was some kind of gamer, man. He was always. His preparation was off the chart. He was always in tremendous shape. He was strong. He used to do heavy deadlifts and presses and things with weight. And he ran more than anybody I ever seen in the game. And I've seen some guys really run a lot. And he'd pitch today, and after the game he'd go out and run 4 or 5 miles. I'd be leaving the ballpark and seeing out running. He'd be over toward the Walt Whitman Bridge. He was that kind of guy. Quiet, didn't say much. He didn't really talk about his personal life and things like that very much. I got to know him better, when both of us was off the field and we worked in Clearwater with the Phillies, and then I'd see him just about every day, and I got to know him real well. And he was everything that as a professional pitcher, that he was everything as a person too. I mean, he was that good. I think about him a lot. I don't know if I think about him every day, but I would say just about every day I do.
talking to Charlie Manuel, former Phillies manager and former manager of Roy Halladay, the subject of the upcoming E60 this Friday on ESPN. I guess I'm curious in that regard, as you got to know him, like you said, in Clearwater and learn more about him, did you ever have any conversations about his difficulty and maybe what he faced trying to balance baseball and the rest of what was going on with him personally?
You know, I think I got to know him real well. You know, like I, a lot of times in baseball too, there's medication for a guy to take if his arm's a little sore and things like that. And I never, you know, like I never got into that part of it with him. But you know, like as far as his thinking and his mental approach to the game and everything about in his life and things like that, I got. I got to know him pretty good, and he was definitely a straight up shooter. He was a professional guy. He even talked to me about it when he got his plane. He talked to me about it, things like that. And he told me how much he liked it and whatever, you know, like, and I was, you know, I didn't know how much actually flying time that he had and things like that. So I didn't know, you know, like I didn't know a whole lot about it really, you know. But I listened to him, and you know, like, and he seemed to be excited about getting to fly it.
Well, certainly it was a passion of his. There's no question about it. As Charlie Manuel, former Phillies manager, longtime part of baseball for many, many years, joins us now as we're talking about the Roy Halladay documentary coming up this Friday, Imperfect. And in the documentary, Charlie, his wife talks about Roy basically embarrassed about seeking help for his addiction and his depression. In the ability that we all have now to look back in 2020, in hindsight, are there any things that you've, now that we know the information that we know, that you can look back at now and saying, oh, yeah, that makes sense to me now that I have this information, seeing what I saw back then?
I think that I can think, especially when he was on the field pitching, I can, down toward kind of the end of his career, you could tell it hurt him to pitch. I mean, you know, like he was absolutely hurting. He got away from some of his mechanics of, you know, what made him real good and things like that. Roy was a warrior. He got embarrassed easy. I can imagine his wife saying that, because he gets embarrassed easy. But at the same time too, you know, like he was every bit of what you saw, and he was a good, very good person too.
Is part of it, Charlie, and I don't mean this is about Roy, but about others as well, because my years in Philly and my years in the league were mostly in the later 80s and the early 90s. And, you know, when you talk about pain and taking painkillers, whether it's pills, whether it's shots, the opioids that some become addicted to, how much of it is just kind of a natural scene that you see? Players are hurting, they take a pill for pain, and they go out and they perform. I mean, how much of it was just, because I know in our day it was just accepted, of how much it was just right. Looked at as, this is just part of the game, so I don't really have any worries here.
Yeah, well, you know, like a lot of that nowadays, if you walk through the training room or in the locker room, things like that, even when I was a player, I was more close to that than I was, you know, when I was a coach or a manager, because, you know, like I didn't, you know, like you don't really get to see a whole lot, but actually because you're so busy, I mean, you can say, well, you're so busy, but at the same time too, it's kind of, you know, the health part and the doctors and the trainers and things like that, you know, like they have more of their domain nowadays. And, you know, like a lot of times I don't really get some of the through the people that work in, baseball anymore. You know, like something might happen to a guy and nobody will tell me until, you know, like I really notice it, or I ask him, or I have to go to him, because, you know, like I think from a medical standpoint, they think it's okay and things like that. Really, it's kind of easy, you know, like to get painkillers or whatever. I don't know, really. I mean, that's kind of what I see.
Charlie, do you think the player of today is maybe less inclined to go down that road, or that guys are a little more wary of some of these things because we've seen the dangers that they pose to certain guys?
I think that, you know what, I think what we're talking about, you get back to the individual. you know, like I think that there's, there's guys that, I'm not saying that somebody that they don't take painkillers or stuff like that, but at the same time, everybody's in some ways has their own agenda in their own life and things like that. And it's hard to know sometimes, but Roy was so quiet and everything like that. And like I said, it was hard, it's hard for me personally to get to know him. And I felt like I did, once we were off the field, but he was a very straight up, guy. He was very proud and he worked hard at his craft, but at the same time too, I listen to what his wife says and things like that. And I'm sure, she's probably the closest person you had around him. And the story, when I hear it, I get sad because how I knew him and saw him pitch and perform and all the things that he did great for the game.
Yeah, the documentary is fascinating. Again, it comes up this Friday, 7:00, an E60 special, Imperfect, the story of Roy Halladay. And I guess this conversation, as we're talking to Charlie Manuel, his former manager, is that people will only show you what they want you to know. How could you not see that? Well, sometimes people only show you what they want you to know, and you never really know about someone, and that's something that clearly comes through in the documentary, which will be Friday night, again, 7:00 Eastern, right, on ESPN. Charlie, I do want to ask you about... Go ahead, Charlie.
I used to come to the ballpark every day. I used to be the first guy there. Every now and then, he'd beat me some and things like that. And I was, I saw him every day and things like that, and I got to know him real good. And believe me, what I saw in him, I saw a guy that loved to pitch, and he was one to be so prepared, and he was the type of guy that worried, and I've had some tremendous conversations with him, the time that I was around him, and I felt like that was a side that I definitely didn't know a whole lot about, really.
Right, and again, you'll see a lot more of that coming up Friday night, 7:00 Eastern, on ESPN. Charlie, you were around in baseball during the strike of 94, which ended the World Series and shortened the 95 series. We're having this fight over money in baseball right now as the players and owners are sending owners and proposals back and forth about what they should be paid in a prorated schedule. How concerned are you about the damage that all this public spatting might do to Major League Baseball when we're having to deal with this pandemic and people are trying to find a way to work around it, and we have players and owners at this point in baseball specifically still bickering over the money part of this?
Yeah, I think that we're going to play baseball, and I think when you guys talk about July the 4th or somewhere in July, I think that's when they'll start playing again. Everything gets so focused it's news and people are going to talk about it and they're going to say different things about it and things like that. But when it's all said and done, it's pretty hard. I think both sides would love to meet somewhere in the middle and settle things, which I think that we'll do. The money's gotten so big in baseball, I don't know where it's going to stop. It goes up every year. You can take it from there. That's about from the legality parts of things and the money that they get. I think that's tremendous. I mean, the money is so big now that it's absolutely unreal.
Well, hopefully that won't be the case that shuts the thing down this summer, and they'll find a way to come to a conclusion. Charlie, we appreciate your time and your insight this morning. Thanks for spending part of your Thursday with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it. You know, going through this and going to watch this, obviously seeing what went on when he was playing and then after playing, and then when you'll see this E60 special called Imperfect on Friday. His wife, Brandy, is definitely trying to – she wants people to understand there's more to a husband than she doesn't want it to be Roy Halladay, a drug addict who crashed his plane and died. Yeah. She wants to understand there's more to him than that. But, boy, let me tell you from the pro sports side of it, in, you know, at the time of his crash, amphetamines, morphine, antidepressants. So you look at those, amphetamines have been part of baseball for forever,
well,
right?
Called greenies back in the day.
Forever. As far, and then we get into the anti, so we go from then, even, so when he played, which it wasn't all that long ago, to when I played, which was longer ago, and even before me, the antidepressants. Okay, guys that struggle with the mental health, the depression thing. Listen, in my day, it was, nobody discussed it. It was,
right.
Get the hell out there.
What are you talking about?
Go play.
Yeah.
You're fine. It wasn't even, nobody even know about it. If a player had it, they hit it. Nobody, you know, as open as a locker room was, and I'm sure there were players when I was playing that had depression, you know, and, but nobody would bring it up. It was like, you didn't bring it up in the testosterone locker room,
right?
You know, and that is one thing I'm very glad that has gone by the wayside to a point. We have more and more professional athletes bringing up their issues with depression and mental health issues and talking about it openly. And that I can't, I'm sure there is so much relief to a player knowing that he can talk about it. So now it's something I never dealt with or went through or had any of my close friends as players go through, but I'm so happy we see where we're going there. I'm telling you, the pain stuff and the opioids really, really ticks me off that we haven't gotten beyond that. Because, and listen, I'm the first to admit I took whatever the doctor gave me to play.
Right.
My mentality was I'm going to play on Sunday. If the doc gave me something because I had torn something or something was still cracked and I was taking a shot and I was taking a pain pill, I said, give it to me. I don't care what it is. I'm going to go play the game on Sunday. And let me tell you, I took about every pain pill opioid there was when I played to play. And you saw players get destroyed by that. And forgetting even sports, the opioid problem, and I said this before, we have in our country is ridiculous. But from a sports side of it, to us to not be looking into other ways to help players deal with the physical pain, the mental pain, again, is something I've never had to deal with, and I'm glad it's opening up. But the physical pain has got to take the next step, has got to take the next step, because it is a horrific part of forgetting even society, but of sports as well.
It is. I don't know if there are easy answers. Obviously, a lot of people bring up, you know, marijuana,
yeah,
CBD,
yeah,
the things surrounding that as an avenue that needs to be looked into further by the NFL's people. I know it gets brought up often with sports in general for how we better treat guys' pain. And the problem with all of those is they're also quick fixes. When you think of Toradol and the amount of shots,
yep,
that guys have taken of that over the years just to be able to go out there and play every week, it's sort of akin to what we talked about with the cycling, which is if you knew something, because, I mean, guys shoot up Toradol left and right. Guys have certainly played, used and abused.
Stood in line in four games getting, yeah, Toradol shots.
To make sure you could go out there and play.
Yeah.
And that is one thing that for a lot of guys, like, that's the barrier. It's, all right, I'm either out there playing and making sure I have a job or I'm not. And the alternatives that come with that are part of the job security or lack thereof that goes along with it for a lot of
but,
guys.
And here was the difference. Until I crossed the line after I reconstructed my shoulder to do steroids to get back sooner, is Toradol, the pain pills I was taking, weren't illegal.
Yeah.
They were prescribed.
They're not now.
No, I know. I guess that's the point where I'm going is there's the I'm going to cross the line and do something illegal. But when you're not doing anything illegal, I didn't think anything of it. The doctors are giving this to me,
right,
prescribing to me because I'm in pain and it's working. I'm able to play the game. And I never got addicted to it, but I saw people who did. I had people wanting me to get cough medicine for them because of what was in it, because they ran out and they wouldn't give them anymore and they wanted somebody else to get it for them. So you know you're going to cross the line of EPO or steroids to, hey, wait, the team doctor is giving this to me, so it must be okay.
Right.
And you take it and you take it and you take the shot and you take the shot and you take the pill and you take the pill because you want to play, because you want to stay on the field, because it prolongs your career, it can maybe get you more money, but then you can see the devastation that for some people it causes.
Well, what do we always say? Sports is a microcosm of society, right? In many levels. Everything that happens in sports is really just a reflection of everything that's going on a larger scale outside athletics. And what is a huge problem in this country? Opioid addiction. It is a massive thing. And I agree with you. We have to be open to trying all different avenues. And it feels like, for whatever reason, there's still a stigma attached to some things that there really shouldn't be a stigma attached to about anymore.
Well, and one of the avenues is making the decision that maybe the thing I am doing and putting my pain in this my body through this pain for isn't worth sticking around long enough with this. We have seen guys shortening their NFL careers, not just because, like, people want to put everything under the umbrella of head injuries. Yeah. There's so much more than that, and there's a lot more information guys have in addition to making a lot more money earlier in a way that allows them to say, you know what? I understand now, because of all the information that I have, the things that I could potentially have to put my body through in order to keep doing this. And I look at the rest of my life and don't want to anymore.
And it's mitigating of pain. Like Eugene Monroe was a former number one pick out of what, Virginia Tech, I think it was, or Virginia. I apologize if I'm getting the school wrong. And he basically said, look, I had to stop playing because the things that I wanted to do to help mitigate the pain, not head injuries, just mitigate the pain, I wasn't allowed to take.
Well, look who we just had do it. Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck, it wasn't a head injury. It was other injuries. Now, again, he had enough money to be able to, and that always helps. We always put that equation in it as well. But it's a great point. Are people saying it's not worth it anymore? And I just want to make one thing perfectly clear. When I talk about the doctors who gave the shots and the doctors who gave me the pills, I'm not blaming the doctors for me taking those things. I chose to. I was the one who said, doc, I have this pain, that pain, or they know I was on an injury report. I'll say, give me whatever you have to give me to play. That's on me. I am not blaming the doctors. I am not blaming football because I know there's all these lawsuits going on. I, as an adult, chose to take them to be on the field on Sunday. So I put that responsibility on me. Now, I know there's situations where maybe you didn't have enough information and all that. I get that part of it. But I chose to take whatever they wanted to give me to mitigate my pain so I could play. I just want that out there so it doesn't look like I'm blaming the league or the doctors for doing that. But it is a problem that I'm glad the mental health part is getting dealt with more and is more open, but this opioid thing needs to be worked on.
And again, it's a microcosm of a much larger picture across the country. All right, coming up next, all we have to say, the return of our friend. We'll get to that after this.
AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online, grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. If you have a job that can wait until tomorrow, AutoZone offers free next-day delivery on orders over $35. Just order by 10 p.m. At AutoZone, free next-day delivery is available on your over 100,000 parts, including ones for jobs like replacing your brake pads and rotors or installing new wipers. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. One word. Stu Gotts. Next on Golic and Winko.
Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 and read it to us. Or share a video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Yeah, you laugh now, but they draft Jordan Love in the first round. Might want to bring that one back.
Wow, could Stu Gotts say that again this year?
That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
That's all I'm saying. Golic and Wingo with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. You know, the pandemic and our reaction to COVID-19 across the country has changed a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, when was the last time we had our friend on the show?
It's been too long. Definitely been too long.
It's been far too long. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, that little rapscallion, that little elfish rascal.
That little minx.
That little minx.
Stu Gotts from the Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gotts joins us. Stu, we miss you. How are you?
Well, thank you, guys. I miss you, too. I am doing well. Congratulations on cameras. I mean, look at you guys. It's amazing.
How about that?
And Mike,
I got the over-under on you bringing that up at 37 seconds.
Yeah. And congratulations to two people on that set right now. Mike Golic Jr. for the calf game. My goodness. And I don't think anyone has increased his physical look more during this pandemic than Mike Golic Sr. Mike Golic Sr., you look sexy, man. Do not drop that look. Keep it. Trey, I don't have anything to congratulate you on. Just the weather is warmer. I mean, you can play golf.
It's fair. No. You could have said thanks for the draft, but I appreciate that you didn't say that. Thank you. Oh, wow.
Sorry, Trey.
Stu, thank you very much. First time in my life I've ever had a beard, and my wife actually likes it, so the beard will stay for a while. I look forward to that. So, Stu, as Trey said, it's been a long time. So much. So that we haven't had you on one time during The Last Dance with Michael Jordan,
right,
and how that whole six-peat and the or six championships. So give us your, I guess, you know, highlight of The Last Dance, or low light if you choose.
The highlight for me, guys, was being able to watch the first, you know, being able to watch all of it with my twin daughters and my wife. Now, my wife was around during that time, but to watch it with my twin daughters, who, you know, to have their dad do what he does for a living, which is be a buffoon and a clown and occasionally talk about sports, but they know how much I love sports, they know how much I love Michael Jordan, and one of my two daughters, they're both into sports, but one of them, who plays lacrosse, is into sports the way we're into sports, and so she is constantly looking at, okay, comparisons between LeBron and Michael and Kobe, and I've taught her well, by the way, Kobe and LeBron, or Kobe and Michael, or Michael and Magic. And so one of the cool things is having this debate with my 16-year-old about who's better, and is it Michael or is it LeBron? And it's kind of like when I was growing up, I don't know who the guy or who the person that, you know, kind of gave you guys like the hottest debate inside the house. For me, it was always Oscar Robertson. Like, my dad swore that was the greatest basketball player he had ever seen. And so that argument would always go on, you know, Jordan and Oscar, or Jordan and Bird, or Jordan and Magic. Within the first 15 minutes of the first episode, to have my daughter turn to me after years of telling me that LeBron James was better than Michael Jordan because anything now was better than anything than when I was growing up, within 15 minutes turning to me and saying, "Oh, Daddy, that guy out there on the screen right now, he's better than LeBron, and it's not even close." And for me, that was a really cool moment.
Stu, listen, I'm with you. My son is not as old as Junior. He's 25, and he's obviously grown up in the LeBron era. And we were watching, and he turned to me and said, "Damn, that guy really was an assassin on the court." I'm like, "I've been trying to tell you for years."
And it's been great. It's been great to kind of – listen, I know people are picking certain, you know, certain parts of it apart. I don't care. I knew exactly what I was walking into. I knew it was a Jordan hype piece. I wanted it to be a Jordan hype piece. You're not going to hear it from me. Jordan's not going to hear it from me if he decides to tell a fib or two. Nothing wrong with that. So I knew exactly what I was getting myself into, and it did not disappoint. It was fantastic. And to be able to teach my daughter, hey, when you don't, and this has been my thing with Kevin Durant. It's, you know, when Jordan couldn't beat the Pistons, it's not like, hey, let me go join Isaiah and Joe Dumars. It was the next day after losing to them, no, let me stay with my guys, get back in the gym, work harder, come back again next year, finally get past that demon, get to the finals, and then win six of the next eight, and would have been eight of the next eight had he not stopped to play baseball.
Talking to Stu Gotts here on Golic and Wingo. I will be waiting for your daughter to come back on the right side of history for as long as I need to for her to figure this out. In the meantime, you enjoy this victory.
You stand alone on that island, Junior.
Stu Gotts, were you – I mean, The one thing, though, you mentioned the lies, the things that come up. We heard the Jordan audio from 2011 of him basically on iHeartRadio saying, I said that I was only going to play on the Dream Team if Isaiah Thomas wasn't on it. Are you surprised that that's like the one lie in this that he chooses to keep going down with?
Yeah, it's odd because it's okay. It's okay. It was okay then and it's okay now. Like Michael Jordan was burnt out. He was fried. He was the best player in the world. And Michael, when you're the best player in the world and the Dream Team wants you and you have a stipulation and that on a team that wasn't going to lose regardless. Let's Correct. Be clear. If Isaiah went and Jordan didn't, they'd still win the gold medal and they still would have won all those games by 40 points. Okay. If neither of those guys showed up, Jordan or Isaiah, they still would have won the gold and won every game, by 40 points. But when you have the biggest brand in the world at the Olympics, okay, World Games, this is out of the question. When you have that guy saying, hey, the only way you're getting me is if he doesn't come, then you take Michael Jordan. So I don't get why Jordan continues to carry that lie around. It doesn't make sense to me. He doesn't have to. It's not like anyone's going to blame him at this point. Did Isaiah deserve the chance? Absolutely. But if I'm sitting there and I'm deciding who's going to play and Michael says, hey, it's me or Isaiah. All right. Sorry, Isaiah.
Yeah. Well, exactly it's right. Also clear that it wasn't just Jordan. There were a lot of people that had some issues.
Yeah.
Isaiah and the way those Pistons teams played in the 80s, that they were happy to take it out on Isaiah in 92.
So I want to ask you, Stu, we had the match, the golf match. If you were to give the next celebrities to play with Tiger and Phil, who in your mind would it be?
Wow. Trey, did you enjoy it, by the way? It was such a great improvement over last year.
Seriously, you're going to ask Trey that?
Listen, not only was it great, but Tom Brady looked shook and he split his pants. I mean,
as a longtime
suffering AFC East fan of the Miami Dolphins, you had to love seeing that.
New York Jets.
I did. But listen, I will take being that shook, but being that good looking while I'm shook any day of the week. You know, kind of makes up for it. I did enjoy it. It's a humbling game. It's, you had two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You could see it with Brady where, and Trey, we've all been there. Mike Golick Jr., we've all been there where the game's just, everything's moving too fast. I am certain Tom Brady's been on a course by himself where he is fired like a 74 and everything's working and he's got it all working and he feels like he could be a professional golfer. But on that day with TV cameras and two of the great players of all time, things start moving too quickly. It could even happen to Tom Brady. And that was the cool moment. To answer your question, first off, Phil always has to be involved because there is nothing like peak Phil being peak Phil with money on the line. So the notion that Phil would not be involved, because I heard some people, you know, talking about Spieth and Justin. No, Phil and Tiger always have to be involved.
Correct.
As far as the two celebrities are concerned, I would say I think next up has to be either Jordan and Curry, Jordan and Romo, Romo and Curry. I might even be willing to throw Barkley in, but Barkley was so good on the broadcast and the telecast that I don't want to take him away from that. So I like maybe a Jordan-Romo combination. I think that'd be fun.
I put in Curry and Justin Timberlake.
That's good.
A little entertainment. He could get a little shook, too. That might be fun.
Do we know if Timberlake likes to talk trash? Because that's the key. Peyton and Brady did a good job of talking trash, going back and forth with each other.
Well, really, and it was really led by Peyton because, Stu Gatz, I would argue the other most important part of this, you mentioned Barkley, mentioned that. Justin Thomas was electric.
Yes,
phenomenal.
Yes.
I thought he might have been the second, maybe third best trash talker in the group.
Yep.
No, you're right. And maybe if they do look towards younger guys or maybe look to expand it to, you know, four twosomes or something like that, maybe there is a Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler component that Brooks Koepka that comes into this. But Justin Thomas, he was fantastic. Barkley's game on the course is not good enough, and his game off the course. I mean, I'm telling you, I would not wish Charles Barkley on college basketball anymore. Put that guy, I'll put him at Augusta. He was so good on golf. I have no issue putting him, in more golf telecasts because he was that good at calling that sport. It was fantastic.
He certainly was. Stu, it is great to hear your voice. And of course, we look forward to listening to you right after we're done on the Dead and Levitard show with Stu Gatz. Be well, be safe, my friend, and hopefully we'll tee it up soon, okay?
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And Trey, sincerely, thank you. 2 years in a row for the Murray! I love you, man.
You got it, brother. I had to throw it out there for my guy. All right, lots more to get to, but first you have these very important words, Michael.
I certainly do. It's time for some straight talk. Even though most live sports are now on hold, big wireless companies, they haven't stopped playing games. They're always trying to lock you into overpriced contracts. With Straight Talk Wireless, there are no contracts. It runs on America's best network, same as the big carriers, but you're going to save up to 50%. That's half, gang. $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. You might miss sports, but don't play games. You're going to lose. Straight Talk Wireless, no contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. Check out terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Back after this, go look and win go.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense. They said lifetime Klondike, and people say, geez, go, like, how dumb can you be? You name your kick. I got free Klondike bars for life. Oh, okay, I get it.
There. And I'm okay with it because then by proxy, I would also have free Klondike bars for life.
Oh, cut that up. What?
It's Golic and Wingo.
That might be the best one of the Klondike by Gars.
So apparently we're just getting lazy because I'm pretty sure we did that one earlier this week.
It was so good.
Well done, Cliff.
It was so good.
Apparently we don't care about the art form around here anymore. Golic and Wingo reminding you, if you missed our interview today with Charlie Manuel, go check out the entire interview on demand in the Golic and Wingo podcast brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. When you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase, your next trip is closer than you think. What's in your wallet?
Junior, you know how it goes around here. We just play the hits, man.
You know what? I
we
get it.
We just play the hits.
I understand it. I appreciate it. And I'm not, listen, we're all equal players here now. Do we have a lot more cuts of my dad screwing up words? Yes, of course. Are we going to play those more often just because of a sheer numbers game? Yes. Yeah, so I get it. We have to run back mine because they're so few and far between. It makes sense.
Oh, please. The
hip-hop. He's not wrong.
Wow.
He's not wrong. Hip-hop. The hip-hop.
Hey, Cliff, just remember again, quarantine ends at some point, my friend.
The hip-hop.
All right. Okay.
By the way, speaking of things that you asked about before, do we ever get a definition of dynasty that we were comfortable with here? Because
I want to
revisit this. So for anyone that missed it, we are talking about, and our researcher Josh put this together, some things wondering aloud if the Kansas City Chiefs were on track to become the next dynasty. You could say the NFL or in sports right now, because I feel like we're kind of at a point where we're looking for a dynasty. We just got done with the Golden State Warriors and whatever they constituted in your mind in the NBA. We can have that conversation. The New England Patriots, as they stood with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, now over. And certainly Major League Baseball with the run that the Astros had recently, now marred by controversy and all these things. I think we look up and we're going, all right, when is it coming? And Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are knocking on the door.
So they're not knocking on the door.
They are at the doorbell.
No way.
They're at least knocking on the door.
You know what they're doing? They're approaching the door. Okay? They're approaching the door.
Now, are they on the street? Or are they gotten out of the car and are walking up
the driveway
to get to the door?
They are safely on the walkway, but I don't think they're at the door. It comes down again to what out there at Golic and Wingo, what is your bare minimum to a dynasty? We discussed this earlier. You guys were saying basically 2 and 3 or 4 years is a dynasty and 2 championships. Because I'm not really counting losses in a championship as part of the dynasty. Dynasty is about being the best in an era of time. Okay? And that's usually the number of championships you win. The Buffalo Bills weren't considered a dynasty when they went 0-4. If they were 3 out of 4, they would have been. Now, in looking at a lot of the dynasties over time, from, I mean, the Islanders to the Canadians to the Packers to the Steelers, you look at to the 49ers.
The Oilers. Edmonton.
Edmonton,
not Houston.
You look at Would the bare minimum be like a Dallas Cowboys 2 years in a row, 92, 93, 95, right? Yeah, those were the years. Well,
that would qualify for the years. They were 3 and 4 years. And the Patriots in the aughts, the 2000s, won 30, 36, 38, 39. So they were also considered.
Now they're included in the whole thing of Tom Brady's time.
Right, but you're doing decades. The 2000s.
Like the Canadians, you could break it up into three. Yeah. Even if the Chiefs win this year, the championship again, I'm not saying they're a dynasty. Then I'll say they're knocking on the door.
So that part of it's interesting to me. And how many other, because championships are one factor, I think, the biggest factor, for sure, in any dynasty and the role it plays. But like Big Daddy J tweeted in, a dynasty has to have at least 50% of the first championship roster in this iteration of it. Like, how much does that continuity matter, or do you just need the main pieces? Like, if the Kansas City Chiefs were to go and they were to meet that other criteria and you're turning over the roster, kind of like what the Patriots have done, but you do it with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid at the center, is that all you need for it to be a dynasty? The same team with the same maybe two main pieces to
it? If you're talking about the Patriots, over the long term, it's been just two people, essentially, or three. The owner, the coach, and the quarterback. That early team that had Brewski, that had Vrabel, that all those, and they went to another Super Bowl and lost, by the way. And that's part of the Cowboys thing. At least they got to the NFC Championship game that next year. It wasn't like they were out of the playoffs.
I think, Mike, just by people become to answer that tweet, just by becoming a dynasty, you're going to have some cohesiveness of roster. So I can't think of a dynasty where from 1 year to the next, there were the main players were different those times. So
Steelers, the Steelers of the 70s, Packers of the 60s.
So to your point, changed. I still think even if it's just Andy Mahomes and another guy or so, that doesn't matter to me.
I'm curious now what they also have to do to get there, because the other part of what our research Josh brought up was teams like the Seahawks, who were, we know, a play away from going back-to-back and being able to do that. The Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, when they were on that precipice for a while, when he was the face of the league in his own way. What do the Chiefs do now to try and avoid that next part of this?
Don't lose.
Yeah. Win.
I hate you both.
Is that what you were looking for?
I hate you both
Win.
So much.
I mean, that's basic, said, right?
We got less than a minute. I was just trying to give more of a succinct answer. Win the Super Bowl.
Don't fall off the cliff. How about that? Don't be a Super Bowl, then go 7-9, and then lose in the first round. You know what I mean? Be around the top for a while.
I guess I was asking how, which is a question.
Salary cap management.
Well, and that's the interesting part is because we know they're knocking on the door of a bank breaker with Patrick Mahomes, and how have successful teams navigated that transition because they have.
Seattle went through that, and they haven't been back since Russell getting his pay. So
and the only team that's been able to do that in this free agency era successfully has been the Patriots, because they never paid their quarterback top dollar. Coming up on Friday, we got Booger McFarland, Lewis Riddick, Dawn Staley, plus That Bites, and another edition of Tale of the Tape. Wow. I'd just like to point out for the record one last time, Dynasty, a line of hereditary rulers of a country.
Hip-hop.